You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Good morning, all. How is everybody doing this morning? Good. Happy second week of Advent this morning. You may wake up and say, it's the second Sunday of Advent? Heck yes. That was supposed to be funnier than that was. It is my delight to welcome you all to our second installment of this Advent series for the 20s and 30s class. This is the second time that we have done a 20s and 30s class, and if you're new here, welcome. We will do periodically have like a 3 or 4 week series that is in this room that's dedicated towards 20s and 30s, and those who are 20s and 30s at heart who join us for just a fun, really the goal of this class to be fun and engaging and communicate the gospel of Jesus to our hearts and just great ways that we can understand. And then we also have amazing peers of ours that have been teaching these classes. So I taught last week, and it's my joy to introduce Tyler Carter, who will teach this class today and engage with us in some wonderful, amazing Christmas songs that we don't know and love, but we will know and love them after today. And I will let Tyler introduce himself, but before that, let us pray. Lord, I pray that you would stir up your power among us today. Continue to make room in our hearts and minds for the coming of your Son in the Nativity and in his coming again in glory. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, y'all, like Will said, my name's Tyler Carter. My wife, Brooke, here, and our daughter, Margaret. We've been members at Advent since 2018. They really do let anybody teach these Sunday school classes, so just be careful what you hear, but that's why Will's here, to correct any heretical statements I might make. No, just kidding. But this will be something different. You know, I hope that this will be conversational. It's called Christmas Songs You Don't Know and Love. It's six songs, which you may know all these, but I think they're at least underappreciated, and I hope some of them may be new to you, and we're just going to listen to them and talk about them. Hopefully make some connections to some scripture and some themes of Advent and Christmas. But just want to talk about Christmas music in general. I mean, like, does anybody have any, like, Christmas music hot takes? Does anybody, like, hate Christmas music? I mean, that's okay. Or, what are some favorites, favorite Christmas albums or favorite Christmas songs? Be it Lessons and Carols or so-called
Feliz
secular.
Navidad.
Okay, yeah.
I've been listening to an Alan Jackson Christmas.
Okay, recently. I haven't listened to that one yet.
Partial to the Charlie Brown Christmas, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Yeah, I think I'll go ahead and say I think the Charlie Brown Christmas album, which is called A Charlie Brown Christmas, Vince Guaraldi Trio, that to me is the quintessential Christmas album. That is like the one that encapsulates to me everything that Christmas music is about. It's amazing. I'm a big fan of that. I love Lessons and Carols. It's my favorite service of the year. I love Nat King Cole, that Christmas album, the Frank Sinatra Christmas album, all that stuff.
Tell us the Lessons and Carols album that you like the most.
Well, there's a, I don't know the name of it, but it's, there's a recording of, I think it's just called A Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols, and it's from England. It's from Cambridge.
It's the King's College,
but it's one recording in particular. I'll show it to y'all later if you come ask me about it. But it has the readings, so these great British accents, and it's King James and everything. So I love that. Let me see if I can get my.
Sorry, James, if they're Tyler.
No, you're good. I don't know what happened to. Here we go. All right, what else? I love the Ventures Christmas album. It's like Surf Christmas. I'm going to play us out on one of those at the end. What else? Here's my hot take. Like, I hate Christmas music before Thanksgiving. Like, day after Thanksgiving, I'm like all in, and I'm all about discovering like new Christmas music and stuff. But like, I don't like hearing Christmas music when I'm like getting Halloween candy and stuff. Like, it really ruins it for me. But this will be six kind of mostly original songs by these artists that are kind of unique. But let's go ahead and let's listen to the first one. It's Christmas Must Be Tonight, which is from the band. from their 1977 album Islands. If you don't know the band, they were Bob Dylan's band. The Last Waltz is like a famous concert documentary. But yeah, let's just listen to it. We're going to just listen to like the, I guess it's the second verse on or something. But anyway.
A shepherd on the hillside, where over my flock I bide, on a cold winter night.
Tommy's seen me karaoke this.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know.
In a dream I heard a voice say, fear not, come rejoice. It's the end of the beginning, praise the newborn King. How a little baby boy bring the people so much joy. Son of a carpenter, baby carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be the night. With my own eyes, written up in the sky, the quiet, simple earth night, such as I. Yet when it came to pass, he was born at last, right below the star that shines on high. How a little baby boy bring the people so much joy. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. Be tonight. Be tonight.
Your version is better.
Okay, so that's the gist of that. Any comments, questions on that? Has anybody heard that before?
I've not heard that, but Levon Helm's one of my, I mean, anything that he
Yes, exactly.
Is going to be a favorite.
Absolutely.
So I've never
absolutely.
Heard that song. Yeah. I really like it.
Yeah, so this is should not have come as a surprise to me. Dave Zoll had already, there's a Mockingbird article about this song. You can read about it. And so I'm going to pull a little bit from that, but just some of the notes that he made about this song, that it's an unexpected shot of religious devotion, something they had only alluded to before. This is a Christmas song in the middle of a non-Christmas album written by someone who was, by most accounts, non-religious. And I think that's kind of one of the themes I want to get at, especially with this song and the last song, of like Christmas being sort of a gateway, that Christmas is a point of connection for people who may not normally be interested in anything religious. So Robbie Robertson wrote this song, although, yeah, Levon Helm sings it. And let's see, this is the only song he ever re-recorded after he left the band. Thought that was interesting. And then also from Dave Zoll's article, a quote from Garth Hudson, who was the organist, who, in my opinion, contributed greatly to the uniqueness of the band's sound. He said this: "The Anglican Church has the best musical traditions of any church that I know of. It's the old voice leading that gives it the counter melodies and adds all those classical devices which are not right out there, but which add a little texture." Which, yeah, to me, that almost is the defining sound of the band, is Garth Hudson's synthesizer and keyboard playing, and here he is, you know, pulling that from the Anglican tradition. So pretty interesting. Lyrically, this idea of the end of the beginning, Robbie Robertson, he likes this phrase. He says it in The Last Waltz. He says of the concert that it's the beginning of the end of the end of the beginning, or something crazy. But I think it is an interesting phrase, I mean, if we take it at face value, with the birth of Jesus, we have the start of something new. We have, can you comment on that, Will? I mean, old covenant, new covenant, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Well, something I'm thinking a lot about now is just, I mean, the pregnancy of Mary being both a sure sign of the promise.
Yeah.
Like, this is coming. Like, the promise is coming. And in Christ's first advent and his first coming into the world and his death and resurrection, that can seem like the end of the story, and yet it's not the end of the story. And we're waiting on his sure coming again to create a new heavens and a new earth. I mean, that's, anyway, that's something that I'm thinking about right now.
Yeah. Another, I like the, why a simple herdsman such as I? I mean, this is kind of the question that we all ask as believers, you know, why me? You know, why has God made himself known to me? And the fact that Jesus first appeared to shepherds, to humble, you know, working people, is encouraging. And, you know, Jesus says he's come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then this idea of Mary carried the light. I mean, to me, that my mind immediately goes to the first chapter of John, which is probably my favorite passage in the Bible and is often read at lessons and carol services. But I'll quote here, the true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. So this idea of light is a very common Advent theme. So I like that phrase, Mary carried the light. Any other thoughts before we move on? All right, this next one, I doubt if anyone's familiar with, but I hope you are. It's the Statler Brothers. They're most known for, they had a hit called Flowers on the Wall. It's famous. It's in the movie Pulp Fiction. It's a great song. But anyway, this is from their 1978 Christmas album called Christmas Card. It's fantastic. It's hopelessly old-fashioned. It's ridiculous. Like, it's these old white guys just harmonize. I mean, it's so, like, from another planet almost. And there's some really great songs on it. But this one is called Who Do You Think? And it's a song that they wrote. So we'll listen here. I think I'm going to start it about halfway. So that's that one. Again, there's some other great songs on that album. I encourage you to check it out. But I love this. They always knew men went to heaven, but now God had come to earth. I love that take on the incarnation and the fact that God, you know, reverses the script. We don't come to him. He comes to us. And that's really the theme of Advent, is anticipation of God breaking into our world in the midst of turmoil and, you know, everything that's going on in our lives and rescuing us. I'm going to move on. Let's see. Do you have anything on that one, Will? I mean, you know, it's...
When I said she turned, I imagine you know, it's this world is under the rule of sin and death, then the incarnation is the harpoon into the Death Star portal that reaches through, that penetrates where seems impenetrable, and yet it has complete power to do so. And he does in the form of a teenage pregnancy in a backwater town of the city of David. And there's just these amazing contrasts that we see in the incarnation.
Yeah, that's cool. And we'll get to that theme more. Okay, this next one is Christmas Time by Ray Charles from 1985. You've heard one of the songs on this album because it's in Christmas Vacation when Clark is in the attic and he's busted out the old the slides. Yes. But he's like reminiscing on Christmas past, as Will's talk was about. But anyway, it's not that song. It's another song from that album. And again, we're going to start around 2. We're going to start halfway. There's a synth solo in the middle that's pretty cool. We're going to start there. Also, the cover of this album has Ray Charles, who was blind, who was piloting the sleigh. I like that. The main thing I'm going to zero in on is the chorus there. It's almost like offensive to us as, that Christmas time is all about receiving. I mean, if you just said that, I mean, someone would go, what, are you sure about that? What are you talking about? But ultimately, it's true that that Christmas and Christianity in general is not about our works. It's not about what, we give, although to give is better than to receive. But in order to give, we have to first receive. That we love, as 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. So I love this theme at Christmas time. And I want to connect this to It's a Wonderful Life. Has everybody seen It's a Wonderful Life? It's fantastic. I mean, I remember the first time I saw it was at the Alabama Theater, because I didn't grow up watching it, so about 6 years or so ago, and I was just, like, in tears. Like, I mean, I was just pouring out of me, and because it just touched something. But, so, It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey, the main character, is one of the most selfless givers in movie history. He gives up his dreams and aspirations throughout his life in service to his family, to his town, to people in need. And it turns out great for him, doesn't it? No, wrong. It drives him. It crushes him. He's brought to the point of he's about to take his own life. There's a great little book, Mockingbird at the Movies, and it has each chapter is basically an essay on different films. But Ron Flowers, I'm not familiar with him, but he writes a chapter on It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's
really?
At the Abbott. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he was right there.
That's just Elizabeth. Yeah.
But here's what he says about It's a Wonderful Life. He says, George's acts are civically laudable. He provides home ownership to those who would otherwise be stuck in Potter's slums. But they are not born out of love. His self-sacrificing actions are generated out of obligation to his father's ideas. He valiantly tries to do all things for all people, and it buries him. So, yeah, this idea that we're called to service to others, but we cannot do that without our cup being filled. We cannot give to others until we know how much we are loved and until we know the gift that has been given to us. And that's the message of this song that's that I really connect with. So, anybody comments or anything on that?
It's a good reminder, I guess, this time of December, because, you know, we're still a couple weeks away from Christmas, and I feel like just the planning of Christmas and the hustle and bustle, especially like the first couple weeks of December, you kind of forget what it's all about.
Yeah.
So it's a good reminder.
Absolutely. This next one, sorry, I'm kind of rushing because I want to make sure we hear all these songs. This next one, you're obviously going to know. It's Silent Night, but with a unique twist. Has anybody heard that one before? Yeah, that's great. I mean, yeah, clearly it's a little too real for me, but this song is, you know, this recording, it doesn't whitewash the reality of the human condition. You know, this is like a true somber Christmas song in that it encapsulates that God is breaking into our world in the midst of turmoil. Or can you comment on that, Will? That, you know, just the incarnation and the rescue and, you know, the peace that we have now in the midst of everything.
Yeah, I mean, the Reverend Ben Hart, who I know you all know, or a lot of you know, he calls it an invasion. I mean, the incarnation is not just like peace on earth and a stable and all this is what, I mean, it's like, no, it's actually combating something that's actually
The 7 o'clock news that we all see that reminds us exactly of how much of a sorrowful, broken world we live in, that it is still where the former master of this world can still hear whispers of him. He's not our master, and yet we do hear his whispers. And the fact that the incarnation comes, it breaks through that. And we're given glimpses of that. We're given like real glimpses of that, particularly in the leading up to Advent, and then on huge mornings like Christmas and then Easter. It seems so real because it has to, because it is.
Thank you. And yeah, I'm gonna quote Paul Zoll here again from the Mockingbird at the Movies. He says, "In order for good news to make sense, there has to be a bad situation." In relation to which the good news does make sense. So this song also, if you listen on a good stereo, it's completely separated. So the song "Silent Night" is on one side, and the news is on the other. So it's really neat. I don't think we have time to read this, but the poem "First Coming" by Madeline L'Engle, I forgive the pronunciation, but fantastic Advent and Christmas poem. I mean, unbelievable. Totally. Encapsulates that theme.
If I could say one more thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are times in our life where our own lives are the 7 o'clock news. That like completely personal and relevant. That our lives are the 7 o'clock news. And to have that as the backdrop of our lives, and then to have, you know, the amazing incarnation and silent light. It's the light that has cometh that shall not be dark.
This next one is "Christmas Lullaby" by Doc Watson from his 1990 album. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a gospel album. I couldn't find much on this song, but it turns out I thought that it maybe had been passed down in his family, but it's more widely known as "Cradle Hymn," by Isaac Watts, written in 1706. But I think this is a good recording of it, and, I'll tell you a story about it. It's probably going to make me cry with Margaret right there, but...
Hush, my babe, lie still and slumber. Holy angels guard thy bed. Heavenly blessings without number. Gently stealing on thy head. How much better art thou attended than the Son of God could be, when from heaven he descended and became child like thee. Soft and easy is thy cradle, coarse and hard the Savior laid. When his birthplace was a stable, and his softest bed was hay.
There just so we have time, but yeah, this song, Margaret had just been born, and I was like back in clinical, and I was I'm in CRNA school, and I was driving to Jasper and listening to this album, and I'd never heard it before, and it was not Christmas time, this was in August, and this song came on and it just broke my heart. I mean, it really drove home for me, just like the profundity of the incarnation, that God became a baby, and I had never had a baby before, so I didn't know. I mean, it's just so powerful when it's right there. Do we have time?
Yeah, we'll go.
Okay, so this is the last one. It'll end us on a high note, and this is like a 2-minute song. This song is called "Jesus Christ" by Big Star from 1978 off their album entitled "Third." So I think that one pretty much speaks for itself, but I just love it. I mean, yeah, it's 2 minutes long. It's a perfect Christmas rock and roll song. And, you know, again, not surprisingly, Dave Zoll already has, there's already an article, a Mockingbird article about this song. So I didn't
have
to, I didn't have to come up with anything. But this, again, the guy who wrote this, Alex Chilton, was, you know, by, again, not a religious guy and someone who dealt with addiction and personal struggles. Oddly enough, Chris Bell, who was the other founding member of Big Star, was a Christian, and there are numerous Christian themes on the first Big Star record. But this is from the third record, and Chris Bell is no longer in the band. But anyway, here's from Dave Zoll. Oddly enough, the record contains the band's best and most explicit burst of Christianity. The jangling Yuletide anthem known simply as Jesus Christ, this time from Chilton, who was by all accounts a pretty non-religious guy. The song comes out of nowhere, beginning with a nonsensical prelude, which we didn't hear, before launching into lyrics poached from a number of Protestant hymns. Some say it's half-serious, some say it's completely earnest. All agree that the song is in keeping with the offbeat tone of Third, and even one of its highlights. Regardless, it's probably one of my favorite rock songs about Jesus, and definitely my favorite Christmas one. Yeah. That's all I've got, y'all. I thank y'all for coming and listening. I hope that, you know, we made some connections there, and I hope you'll go home and listen to some of these songs. But does anybody have any further comments? Or
Tyler, I think that's an interesting point, just like how many of these artists are not. I mean, Paul Simon is Jewish.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. I think this message is kind of, it's not universal. I mean, it feels like a universal message.
Yeah.
And that, I think even people who are not Christians respond to this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, again, it's the idea of Christmas being this gateway or almost, you know, a third way, or, you know, some alternate way into, you know, hearing about Christianity or the gospel that people who may not normally connect with anything religious, that Christmas is sort of a touchstone or sort of a, you know, a gateway into that. So I think it's really interesting. You got anything, Will?
No, I think what Ben said, I think it's a universal message. Christmas is a universal message,
yeah,
that breaks through. That the older I get, the more I realize, like, no, we need the whole enchilada. Like, I want the bells, I want the singing, I want Mariah Carey, and then I also want the incarnation, because it all speaks to my heart. That is the 7 o'clock news sometimes, and and I need it. So, yeah. And you leading us this today was perfect, honestly.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to play us out on Silver Bells from The Ventures. This is like my, I love this. I love this version, but yeah, we can.
Tyler will be here and to chat with you all about all these amazing albums, and thank you all for coming today.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.